Thank you for joining us for this lesson from God's Word. The West Huntsville Church of Christ is located at 1303 Evangel Drive, Huntsville, Alabama, 35816, and can be reached by phone at area code 256-837-8730. Anytime you're in the Huntsville area, we would love to have you join us for worship or Bible study. Worship service is held every Sunday morning at 9 o'clock, with Bible study immediately following at 10:15. Evening services begin at 5. Midweek Bible study is held Wednesday nights at 7.
It is a privilege to be with you this evening, and I thought sure it was because I was his brother-in-law that he asked me to come, so I didn't know. I like the theme that you've selected. It's an easy theme for the guest speakers. My favorite sermon. I've done a couple like that on Wednesday evening series, and I've never done the same sermon twice on that. This would be the third time I've done on my favorite sermon, and it's been a different one each time. I guess we change, don't we? As preachers, we come across something else that we like to preach better, and that's the case in my situation. I have selected a lesson this evening entitled Visionary Leadership, and I hope that there'll be some things that each of us can take from this that will be helpful. Ran across a comic strip some time back, and it was one of the Dagwood and Blondie comic strips, and Dagwood goes running into the office there where Mr. Dithers is and says, Mr. Dithers, I've had a vision, and I can just see up in lights, Dithers and Bumstead, you've made me a partner, it was a vision. Mr. Dithers said, you better go get your vision checked. Helen Keller is credited with having said, the saddest situation I know of is for someone to have sight, but no vision. Vision has a number of different uses, as the comic strip indicated. In Proverbs 29:18, it's used this way, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Well, it's probably true that in the context of that passage, the vision that's being discussed is a miraculous revelation of God's law. The statement's still very applicable to the need for us today to be people of vision in a different sense than in the miraculous sense. We're going to look at one visionary leader this evening, one man that I think exhibits some wonderful characteristics of a visionary leader. This leader that we're going to be studying primarily is one who could mentally perceive and contemplate with pleasure those things toward which he was leading. And that's the idea. That's what visionary leadership is. Someone who can picture something, who can come up with an image, a dream, and then pursue that with everything they've got. When I think of the leader that I want to study this evening, I think of old Walter Brennan. Some of you may remember him. He was a sidekick to John Wayne in the movies. He was also in the Tammy series of movies as her uncle, who was a preacher and a bootlegger on the side, and ended up in jail a lot of the time. He also did some recording as a recording artist, Walter Brennan did. And one of those recordings that he did really reminds me of this visionary leader that we're going to be looking at. It was a song about a man, a farmer. His name was Old Rivers. And in the course of this song, Old Rivers says these famous words. One of these days, I'm going to climb that mountain. Walk up there among them clouds where the cotton's high and the corn's a-growing and there ain't no fields to plow. Oh, Walter Brennan, I loved his voice. I can't mimic it well, but it's the things that he said as Old Rivers. Picture an image of a man who's worked, who's sweated, who's labored, and yet a man who has a dream about something that will take him away from that hard work to the place of reward. I think in that song he was talking about heaven, a place with no fields to plow, a place of rest and peace and joy as an old farmer could envision it. But I think of him when I think of this leader because of the mountains connected. We had a friend in North Carolina who literally owned a mountain. She, Ma English we called her, she had her house on the side of it, and this mountain was beautiful. It wasn't a large mountain, but there in near Hendersonville, North Carolina, if you visited in that area, you know what beautiful area it is. She lived there and had her place there, owned a mountain. Well, this visionary leader we're going to be looking at, as we get into our text, which is Joshua chapter 14, we'll be going some other places first, but that's our main text. The man that we're going to be looking at is identified as Caleb. And in this text, 45 years before the text even, he was promised a mountain of his very own. Well, from the events of his life, as we look and back up before we get to that text, I want us to notice six identifying marks of visionary leaders that Caleb teaches us. Number one, visionary leaders are focused. Visionary leaders are focused. Caleb was selected as a spy. He was from the tribe of Judah. He was selected along with Joshua and 10 other men. And in Numbers chapter 13, they went into the promised land. They came back out of the promised land. And Caleb's attitude was what we would expect from him as we know what he was. He was ready to go in now that he'd been in and seen the land and knew what God had promised to give them. He was excited about it. But the other spies, 10 of those 12 men came out and they said, "It's a beautiful place, but there are giants. We can't take the land. We are fearful." Verse 30 of Numbers chapter 13, Caleb stilled the people before Moses, it says, and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." But the men that went up with him said, "We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." They brought up an evil report of the land. Verse 33, it says, "There we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight." You see, there's a huge difference in Caleb and his perception and in the perception of these other spies. And it's the focus. These other 10 men, they were focused upon themselves. They said, "We were grasshoppers in our own sight. We compared ourselves to them and we looked like grasshoppers." But you know, Caleb didn't see those grasshoppers, because you know what Caleb was focused on? God said, "Go in and spy out the land that I have given you." That's what God said. God said, "I've given you this land. You need to go in and spy it out." That's where Caleb's focus was. And he was ready to go in and take that land. And he argued with the congregation. But they took up stones. They were ready to kill him. They were not willing. They weren't willing to hear him, because they could see so easily what these other men were looking at. It's so easy for us, instead of focusing on the promises of God, to focus on ourselves. The Lord's church today needs men who are like Caleb, visionary leaders, whose focus is on what God has said, whose focus is on what God has promised, and not on the meager abilities that we individually might have. We don't focus on ourselves. We focus on what God has said for us to do and what God has promised that He would do. Well, you move ahead 45 years to Joshua chapter 14, and you can still see the focus of Caleb. You know how that story ends. God tells those disbelievers, "Okay, you don't believe you can take the land, you won't take the land. You can't go in, but I've got a mountain for Caleb over there that I'm going to give him." And Joshua, who's been right there with him, both of those men will go in, but no one else, none of the other spies, none of the other adults, 28 years old and upward, none of you will ever go into the promised land. And then they said, "Oh, we've made a mistake. We can go. We will take it." and they attempted on their own, and they perished, many of them. They move back into the wilderness, and they wander, and they die as God said they would. For 40 years, those people are living out their lives, wandering in the wilderness. And now 45 years later, after Joshua has led the people into the promised land, we can see that Caleb is still focused. In Joshua chapter 14 and verse 12, look at his words. "Now therefore, give me this mountain. Give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said." There's no doubt. There is no doubt that many times through the years, Caleb saw that mountain, not literally, but he thought about that mountain, and he dreamed about that mountain. He saw the accomplishment of God's promise to him. And he waited 5 years after they started taking the promised land to go back to Joshua and say, now it's time. Give me my mountain. I've helped the others take their territories. I've worked as a part of the unit. Now I'm ready. Now I'm ready to take what God has promised me. What a great focus. What a great attitude. As we think about ourselves and the concept of focused leadership, this is not just a lesson for preachers and elders. This is a lesson for every Christian, because each of us have the responsibility of leading. If it's our neighbor, if it's our children, our Bible class, whatever our responsibility, wherever God has placed us, we have the responsibility to be a leader in some fashion. I just want to challenge you, what is your focus? Are you committed to converting someone? How often have you prayed about it this week? Are you committed to being a part of a particular program in this congregation, doing a certain part of leadership in this particular body of God's people? And if you are you taking steps to achieve that in your life? Are you focused on what God would give you? Are you focused on what God would have you to be and what God wants you to do? Pray. Pray about that work. If it's personal evangelism, target someone. Pray about that person. Set yourself a deadline to do something about that person. And then pray some more. And then take that difficult step of making that contact and offering that study. Do what God wants you to do. Be a leader. Be a focused leader in His kingdom. But then a second thing we can learn from Caleb in looking at visionary leaders, and looking at him and learning about visionary leaders. Number two, visionary leaders are followers. Visionary leaders are followers. He was a great leader, Caleb was, because he was a true follower of God. Listen to these verses. Numbers chapter 14, verse 24. "My servant Caleb hath followed me fully." Numbers chapter 32 and verse 12. "Caleb and Joshua have wholly followed the Lord." Moving to our text in Joshua 14, verse 8. He himself said, "I wholly followed the Lord." Joshua said to him in response in verse 9, "Thou hast wholly followed the Lord." In verse 14, again it says of him, "He wholly followed the Lord." You reckon he followed the Lord? God's Word says several times here that Caleb was a follower. Leaders of God's people, elders of God's people, need to be followers of the Lord. Every one of us needs to be a follower. No one is going to be a great leader in God's kingdom without consistent obedience to God's will. And that's what Caleb shows us. That's what he teaches us. Reminds me of Noah and what God said about him in Genesis 6, verse 22. And also in chapter 7, verses 5, 9, and 16. And it's not the same words, but in essence, he said about Noah, "Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him. So did he." Can that be said of you? Can it be said of me? Are we following God? Are we obeying His will? Great leaders in the Lord's church today are that, because they're following God and doing His will. And then a third characteristic of a visionary leader. Visionary leaders are forbearing. We see this in Caleb immediately back up to verse 10 in Joshua chapter 14 as he's speaking with Joshua. Well, let's back up to verse 7 and read down through 10. He says, 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 84 years old. Caleb had to wait 45 years. 45 years to push toward that goal. To approach that vision that God had given him. He was focused on it, but he had to wait. He had to wait till the right time. He had to be patient. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 15 talks about Abraham, and it says he patiently waited. You know what he was waiting on? God told him when he was 75 years old, you're going to be the father of a great nation. Fast forward 24 years and there's still not the first child between him and Sarah. They've had Ishmael, and God said, no, this is not the son of promise. You and Sarah will have a son, and through him, that special son of promise, you'll be the father of a great nation. What an understatement Hebrews 6:15 is. He patiently endured. Can you imagine a 75-year-old man hearing, you're going to be a father? And can you see the excitement on his face and his decision to go and, well, they didn't do that back then, but passing out those bubblegum cigars, you know. I'm going to be a father. I'm excited about this. It's the next year there's no child. The next year. 10 years. 20 years. Sarah says, why not have a child with my handmaid take her? They tried to do it on their own. But after it all, God says in Hebrews 6:15, they patiently endured. We want patience. We want God to give us patience immediately. We don't even want to wait and pray for patience and grow and mature to that patience. But if we're going to be successful as leaders for God's people, we're going to be patient. We're going to have to give people room to grow. We're going to have to give God our trust and say, we're doing what we can, God. And we don't know your timetable, but we trust you. And we want to accomplish these things for you, and we're going to wait on you. They that wait upon the Lord. We know that song, don't we? But do we do it? Do we wait upon the Lord like we should? Are we patient? Are we trusting in Him? We need leaders. We need leaders who are forbearing like Caleb was. Then fourthly, visionary leaders are fearless. At age 85, Caleb was not your average senior citizen. Another comic strip that I saw called The Buckets. The old man walked into the room where his wife was and he stopped and paused by her chair there and he said, honey, why did I come in here? She said, well, I don't know. Why don't you retrace your steps and maybe you'll remember when you retrace your steps. So the next scene shows him back in the room where he'd come from and the caption is, honey, why did I come in here? We give elderly folks a tough rap sometime. We get forgetful. The older we get, the easier and the better our forgetter works because we have so much going on in our mind. But Caleb, he may have been a little forgetful, but he's not your typical senior citizen, I'll guarantee you. When I think of him, he's more like the Got Milk commercial that aired several years ago now. In this diner, there are these senior citizens sitting, and they're sort of bent over like this and hiding what they're doing. And there's these big bikers over at this other table. And all of a sudden, it goes to one of these bikers, and you see him get hit in the head with something. And it goes back to these little men, and they're sort of hiding. They're shooting spitballs at them for what they're doing. through their straws. And these big men are looking around. These old men, all of a sudden, they grab up their milk and they drink their glasses of milk and set it down. And then they go and they walk up to those bikers, and you think maybe an apology is going to come from these little frail men. But no, they reach up and they headbutt those bikers and they run out and jump in the station wagon and take off. They've got attitude, and they've got a fearlessness about them that is cued in that commercial. But I want you to understand that Caleb, as a leader of God's people, truly was fearless. There was no fear in this man. 85 years old and begging to go into battle, not just to face your average soldier, young man, strong and stronger than an 85-year-old man probably. He's not just wanting to go into battle with the normal folks. The mountain that he's been given, we've read it twice already in Joshua 14 there. Verse 12, he says, "For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced." Who are the Anakims? Fast forward to King David. Well, not quite that far, before he was king. Little boy David. And look at Goliath that he faced. We have the measurements on him. We don't know exactly, depending on what the cubit exactly measured, if there was an exact measure for it. We can safely estimate Goliath was somewhere in the neighborhood of 9 feet tall. I'd like to see Shaquille O'Neal walk up and look up at Goliath. Shaquille looks like a giant to me today. Anytime I see him standing up next to another man, and well, he should. He's a big man. But he was not a big man compared to Goliath, who was a descendant of these Anakims, that Caleb said, "Give me my mountain. I'm ready to go in. I'm ready to face these giants. I have no fear. God has promised." The rest of verse 12 is so priceless in learning how to be a leader. "If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said." Caleb said, "I have no fear regarding these giants because God said I'm going to have that mountain and I'm ready to go take it." Fearless. Fearless. What about us? Deuteronomy 9:2 says this about the Anakims: "A people great and tall, the children of the Anakims whom thou knowest and of whom thou hast heard say, who can stand before the children of Anak?" I'll answer that question. Caleb. Caleb could stand before the children of Anak. He was prepared. He was fearless. He was ready to go in and take what God had given him. Are we fearless? Or are we fearful? Do we face the giants that stand in our path with trust in God the way that Caleb did? Or are we fearful? Number five, visionary leaders are faithful. Visionary leaders are faithful. Notice verse 12 again. "If so be," the last part of it, "if so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said." There's his faith. He knew what the Lord had said. He was confident he could take the mountain because the Lord had said he would take that mountain. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God, Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. His faith was the kind of faith that is pictured in Hebrews chapter 11. In Hebrews chapter 11, we call it the roll call of the faithful, and for good reason. So many wonderful men of God are listed there. But listen to what the faith that they had did for them. Verse 4, "By faith Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death. By faith Noah prepared an ark to the saving of his house. By faith Abraham obeyed and went, not knowing where he was going. By faith Abraham offered up Isaac. By faith Joseph gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. By faith he forsook Egypt. Through faith he kept the Passover. Verse 32 it says, What shall I say more? If time would fail, and he names a number of folks. Listen what through faith they did, verse 33. Through faith they subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. There are those in the world around us that claim they have faith, but you never see that faith working. James would say that's dead faith. Show me your faith by your works, is what James would say. Heard Earl Edwards speaking several years ago on the lectures in Florence on faith and works. Specifically, he was talking about dead faith, and he said this: dead faith is no better than a dead horse. And if you took me out behind the barn to show me that you had a horse and it was dead and stinking, I would probably say that you didn't have a horse at all. Well, what's his point? If someone's faith isn't obvious through their works, well, they don't really have any faith at all. Because true faith brings about work. Real faith brings about action. Caleb's faith wasn't dead. He made it clear by demonstrating the final quality that I want us to notice about visionary leaders this evening. Number 6, visionary leaders are fighters. Visionary leaders are fighters. Caleb's faith is obvious through the work that he performed based on his trust in God. He fully believed God. He fully understood what God had said. And he was committed to carrying out God's will. And it required him to fight. Judges chapter 1 and verse 20 tells us the end of how this turned out with Caleb taking this mountain. They gave Hebron unto Caleb, as Moses said, and he expelled thence the three sons of Anak. He expelled thence the three sons of Anak. What did Caleb do? He went in and he threw them out, chased them out, ran them out, slaughtered whoever was in the way, took over that mountain that God had promised him. You know, our faith can equip us to do great things in service to the Lord. Today, we're not asked to literally fight, to arm ourselves and to go out and slaughter as Caleb and others of God's people were in that day and time. But we are waging a war. We are waging a war. Think about Joseph for a minute. And he was another great dreamer, had great vision. Think about what his faith enabled him to conquer. He overcame being spoiled. Wasn't a good move in parenting for his father to show that he was his favorite son and for his father to have a favorite son. Joseph knew he was the favorite, and he overcame that being spoiled to try to work and to serve God and to be faithful. He overcame being envied and mistreated by his brothers. He overcame the sexual temptations that his boss's wife would throw at him because of his faith. How can I do this, he said, and sin against God? He overcame being falsely accused by that same woman. He overcame being forgotten and imprisoned. And he even overcame being unbelievably empowered, second in command in all the kingdom. Joseph could have easily given up, just as Caleb could have given up. But faith made him fight. And he continually lived and worked to serve God. And that's the key. That's the answer for every one of us. As God's children, we need to be people of faith who are willing to fight. As we close this lesson, this part of our assembly, I just want to ask you, are you taking the mountain that God has given you? We can't all be Caleb. We can't all be elders. We can't all be great preachers, but we can all do something. We can all be leaders. If we'll picture it in our mind and if we'll pursue it with our might, we'll be successful in serving God. Like Abraham, we need to look for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 10. As the Hebrew writer instructs, we must run with patience the race that's set before us, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Like Caleb and other great leaders in our role, whatever that role is, whatever our mountain is, whether we're a preacher, an elder, a Bible class teacher, a servant, or just a friend to someone who doesn't know Christ, we've got to focus on our goal, follow God, forbear with love, be fearless as we face our giants, and fight the good fight of faith to lay hold on eternal life.
We hope you've enjoyed this lesson from God's Word, brought to you by the West Huntsville Church of Christ. If you would like to continue your study of God's Word with a Bible correspondence course, please contact the church office at area code 256-837-8730.